Thanks, Tom. Praise the Lord. How many of you are happy tonight? Amen. How many of you are here tonight? See this one? How many of you are here tonight? Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Praise God. Well, I'm glad I'm here. This is my first time in Portland. Oh, I don't know if I'm in Portland or Milwaukee or where am I? I'm just going to say Oregon. I'm in Oregon. I'm out in the Northwest. So glad to be here. As you can tell, we're not natives of these fine shores. We moved out to America 10 years ago. So me and my wife, Carly, I'm Ashley. This is my wife, Carly. A lot of people think Carly's Ashley because I've got a girl's name, and they think they look at her and say, Ashley, everywhere I go, hotels, car rentals, DMV, they always look to her, Ashley, and I go, no, I'm Ashley. And then they look at me, and one lady actually said, are you sure? And I said, pretty sure. For 40 years I've had the name Ashley, but it actually came from Gone with the Wind. So I don't know if any Gone with the Wind people here, but my mum and dad watched Gone with the Wind, and that's where they got the name from, and he was a guy, strapping guy. So anyway, we'll get past with that. My green card came back. We got a green card, praise God. So we're permanent residents of these fine shores. I got my green card and it came back and I pulled it out of my wallet. I was so proud of it because it's permanent residency. You know, it's a big deal. I pulled it out, looked at it. This is great. United States of America, you know, the flag on there and the eagle. I thought, this is awesome. And I was reading it, Ashley Daniel Terades. I was like, this is proud of this card. I mean, it cost us tens of thousands of dollars. With all five of us to get the green card, it cost injections. And to get a green card, if you're a citizen of this country, you need to kiss your passport and thank God, because for us to get here was... You have to have medicals. Did you know that? I didn't know that. You had to have medicals. And I said, what's this medical card? And she said, well, you need a medical to become a green card holder of the United States. And I was the main guy, so I had to do it. And then all the family followed after me. So I said, I'm squeamish when it comes to doctors and stuff. So I said, I don't want to go no medical. She said, you've got to have a medical, otherwise you can't stay in America. So I thought, well, I love America so much, we want to stay here. So I went for the medical. And my wife lied to me. Because she was a registered nurse, and I said, this medical, I said, it's nothing like, it's just, oh no, it's a bit of blood pressure, that's it, no problem at all. So if I can do that, no problem. So I pull up into the doctor's office, I walk in there, and then this lady gives me a robe. And she said, if you could just change into that robe, please. You know, one of them robes with no back on? Like a paper robe? I was like, this is not going well. And I text Carly, she's like, little smiley emoji. So it's too late now, I'm in here now. So anyway, you have to have medicals to be here. Anyway, so it took a lot of work to get to this. It took a lot of work to get here, is what I want to say. 10 years ago, it took a lot of work. They give you an injection for TB. They said, have you got TB? I said, no. I said, but I have had the TB inoculation, because in England, the second best country in the world, is this taped? This is taped. Man, I'm in trouble now. Maybe we could edit that bit out and just start, okay, I love England. But... In England, we have a TB injection when we're kids, so we have inoculation against that. So as a kid, I had the inoculation. So I said to him, well, I've had the inoculation, the vaccine, so if you test me for TB, I'm going to come up positive because I've got the vaccine, but I haven't got TB. I said, can't you just, look at my vaccine records? They said, no, we have to test you. So I said, how do you test me? And they said, we give this injection and then see what happens. If you're positive, it'll blow up like a big spider's bite and your arm will be all swollen, painful for days. I was like... I was like, God bless America. They put the injection in there, and sure enough, I came back the next day. I mean, it was swollen like a big old spider bite on my arm. And they got the doctor and they got all the trainees. Come and see what a positive TB test looks like. They'll come down the hallway. We haven't seen one before. This is interesting. They're literally measuring it and taking photos. I was like, so they said, you've got TB? I said, no, I haven't. I've got the vaccine. Oh, now you have to have the x-rays to prove you haven't got TB. So I've got the x-rays. $350 later, I come back to him with the paperwork to say that I haven't got TB. And they said, oh, you haven't got TB. I said, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I did tell you this. So anyway, I say all that to say, we got our green card, and I was looking at it, and it actually said on it, sex, F. And I was like, do they have a different word for female in America? Maybe like, because you have lots of different words here. So I was like, maybe, you know, what does this mean? I was like, I'm pretty sure it's just male, female. I don't know, F. And this was like years ago, before this whole gender thing. So I was like, this is back in the day when men were men and women were women. We're going to have to delete this tape. This tape isn't going to, we can't post this anywhere. We're going to get in so much trouble for this one. I'm sorry, Tom. I apologize ahead of time. I was going to thank Tom and Dixie for having me here and everything else, but I'm not sure about that. They're not so sure now. I'll get me in trouble. Anyway, back in the day when it was just male and female, I looked up, well, F means female. they gave me a female status, and because it's a little black and white photo on there, my name was Ashley. Can you believe it? On government documentation, they put I was a female. So then I had to fight the American government to prove that I was a man. True story. And I said to them, I said, listen, I said, if you go and talk to that nurse who did my medical a few months ago, she could tell you I'm a man. Because she, I was like, you could talk to her. So anyway, I had to go back and get another green card and everything else. So I grew a beard. True story. I was like, it doesn't matter if my photo's little and black and white on the back of a Sam's Club card. A beard settles it right there. Man, not woman. So anyway, I don't even know. Where was I talking about there? It's great to be in America, praise God. We moved here 10 years ago. I love America, God's country. I moved here 10 years ago, me and my wife, Carly. And as Tom said, we're graduates of Caris Bible College. We graduated Caris Bible College in 2006. And we went to the school in England. And the school in England is an extension school, an extensions campus of Caris. So the main Caris is in Colorado. It's Andrew Womack Ministries at Caris Bible College in Colorado. Been going 26 years now, I believe. And then they have extension campuses around the world. So we went to the extension campus in England, and that's where we graduated for. We started there in 2006. So if you're a student, how many of you are students of Caris or graduates or alumni of any Caris anywhere around the world? Praise the Lord. Look, there's quite a few. Amen. That's awesome. So if you've got any questions about Caris and you're visiting, look for the people with their hands up, or obviously come and see Tom and Dixie and the table at the back, and they'd be delighted to answer your questions. But my point is this. We graduated from Caris in England in 2008, and it was an extension school like this here in Portland, and then we went to America for our third year. And when we went to America, I was expecting to maybe miss out a little bit, because in America, you know, it's the main Colorado, it's the main campus, and this is just an extension campus. But what happened was we turned up there and we was right on the same page, no problem. It was because it's the same message, it's the same Holy Spirit. Whether you're watching a DVD or whether it's whatever it is, it's the same message. Caris has a consistent message. So, and I believe, I'm biased, but I believe Caris Bible College is the best Bible school around. I think it's a discipleship machine, amen. And I think if you want to go deep with your relationship with the Lord, you'd do well to get involved with Caris. And there's, like I said, we've got a campus here in Portland, but also there's online, there's distance education, there's you can go to Colorado, you can go to other campuses if you don't like the rain. Maybe you could go to wherever they've got a campus where it doesn't rain. I don't know if it rains like this. Does it rain like this all the time, or is it just for me especially? Because I looked at my weather app. Of course, my kids sent me pictures of what it's like in Colorado at the moment. It's 75, blue sky, and then they were like little funny emojis like, look at Portland, Dad, it's raining the whole time you're there. I was like, thank you. But we did have the sun for a few minutes. We did have the sun. So connected with Caris some way or the other, you'll really be blessed by it. And if you haven't heard of Andrew Womack Ministries, Andrew Womack Ministries is the ministry we worked for, served with for over 10 years. And I believe Andrew Womack is the leading teacher in the moment of grace in the body of Christ. I think his revelation on grace is second to none. So if you want to hear the grace, amen. If you want to, how many of you love Andrew's teachings? Amen. Let's have a round of applause. Andrew, give him a round of applause. Amen. He's really helped us, and how we met how we came to our own ministry was through Andrew. Andrew really launched us out into our own ministry, and we didn't want our own ministry. I was like, I'm just happy to serve Andrew. I'd been there 10 years, and I tell people God and Andrew ganged up on me, and we started our own ministry, and Terades Ministries. The name Terades is my father's name. He was born in Spain and then moved to England when he was a teenager. So that's where Terades comes from. It means, there's a couple of different translations, but one of them means burnt field or something. Something. One of them means a pot that's broken, something. Not very glamorous. But anyway, Terades Ministries, you can Google it. And the good thing is it's so unusual that we own like the first five pages of Google. So if you just type in Terades, you'll find us. But we'd love to connect with you. We're on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all that. And we have a weekly show on Facebook at 6 p.m. Anyone seen our 6 p.m. Facebook Lives? A few of you, excellent. We also have a daily show on Andrew's Gospel Truth. What's that? Oh, it's 5 p.m. here. Yeah, you're an hour behind. 5 p.m. 5 p.m. Pacific time. 6 p.m. Mountain time. 7 p.m. Central time and 8 p.m. Eastern time. And who knows what time in Arizona, because they mess around. Or they don't mess around. That's right. They don't. Half the time they're Pacific and half the time they're Mountain. But anyway, how many of you have seen we have a daily show on gospeltruth.tv. Gospeltruth.tv is a new network. It's a grace network. And basically, it's Andrew Womack's network. 24 hours a day online. You can go on any device, tablet, phone, whatever you have. and look it up. It's gospeltruth.tv, and there's all grace teaching on there, good teaching on there. So we have a daily show on there, which would be 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. So 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. of our daily show. Anyone seen that daily show? A few of you. Okay. Please watch it. It costs us thousands of dollars to make. So we have fun making it, praise God. It's awesome. We have great testimonies. We have people emailing us from around the world, praise God, with testimonies about how they've been set free. And have you know, it's not about me and Carly, it's about the message going out. Amen. It's about the love of God and the message of grace going out. So I think your announcements here. Oh, and I've already told you, but Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I heard this thing the other day that YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook are going to merge and going to make one giant conglomerate social media company. YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. It's all going to be one deal, yeah. It's going to be called You Twitface. But anyway, so my kids say, Dad, they say, Dad, when are you going to stop telling that joke? I said, when people stop laughing, I stop telling it. They said, Dad, sometimes you're the only person laughing. I say, if I'm laughing, I'm telling it. So anyway, we are seriously on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can check us out there. You'll be blessed. We have a lot of resources out there. And also, talking of resources, I have to do this real quick. I'm probably messing the cameraman up. I'm sorry, Mr. Cameraman. But we have some things on the table. I want to give some of this away for people that have come, and maybe you didn't bring resources to buy stuff. I can give you some stuff here. But this is a few of our things we have here. We left all the junk at home. We just bought the good stuff back there. So the table's all our best stuff. And this is the best book I've ever written in my life. Do you know why? It's the only book I've ever written in my life. This is Thorns, Barns, and Old Jars. And this is talking about your financial prosperity. I'm going to be talking a bit more about this at church tomorrow. So come to church. Amen, Bill?
I'll run it for you.
Oh, you're going to run it for me? Thank you. Okay. So come to church tomorrow. It's right here, right?
Yeah.
Bill's right here. Okay. So come to church.
Yeah.
The church service, 10 a.m. Yeah. 10 a.m. right here tomorrow. So you're welcome. Are you inviting everyone to church tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, he's inviting you to church tomorrow. I'll be preaching tomorrow, so I'll be talking a little bit more on prosperity in your finances and things like that. So that book will really bless you. How many of you need a breakthrough in your finances? You want that book right there? I'll let Pastor Bill give that away. This is Carly's book. This is on miracles and healings made easy. How many of you know Carly was healed of grand mal seizure epilepsy, a disease you're not meant to be healed from? When I met her, it was so bad. She was on 11 different medications a day. She was flying back from a skiing trip from Bulgaria, and they actually emergency land the plane because she had such a bad epileptic fit. When I was first married to her, she couldn't be left on her own. She would regularly be found places having seizures and stuff in different hospitals. She couldn't look after when we had kids. She couldn't look after the kids on her own. She couldn't drive a car, didn't have a driver's license. I tell people, I'm still not sure if she can drive a car. She has a driving license, but anyway, whether she can drive a car or not is another matter. But anyway, so that was, I'm going to get in trouble for that. That was 15 years ago now. She was healed of grand mal seizure epilepsy, 11 different medications, 100%, amen, 100% free, no more seizures, 100%, amen. She's been healed of allergies, she's been healed of a bunch of things, and also our daughter's testimony is in here as well. Our daughter's testimony, Hannah Terada, she was healed with given about a week to live. How many of you have seen Hannah's testimony? Quite a few. Okay, let me ask you this. How many of you have not heard about my daughter Hannah's testimony? Okay, that's about a third of the room, so I may have to touch on that in a minute. Is that okay? The people that have heard it, is it okay if I tell you the quick version? Okay, I'll do that later. So this is Carly's book. Who needs a miracle today? Who needs a miracle? I'll let Bill give that away. And then we have some USBs as well. We have a USB. This will bless you. This is Keys to Living Happy. Me and my wife, these USBs, we did these together on our set. And it's quite a type of fun because me and my wife tag team teaching back and forth. And we discuss things and we teach and then also answer questions and things. And this is Keys to Living Happy. This is based off of Philippians, the teaching of Philippians. This talks about your all sorts of things, from your financial resources to how to overcome offense and how to be, you know, rejoice all the time when you don't feel like rejoicing. I tell people the time when you least feel like rejoicing is the most important time you can rejoice. The time when you least feel like worshiping is the most important time you can worship. So that's when you get a breakthrough. So thanks for worship today, by the way. That's good. So this is Keys Living Happy. That'll bless you. Thanks, Bill. And then a couple more I'll tell you about real quick. This is Hilden Hull. 15 lessons again. Video and all. These are USB. I don't know how they do this, but you get the USB and you can put it in your car or your computer or your smart TV and you can watch the video or you can listen to the audio. And anyway, they're all on there. So it's audio and video. So you can have both. And this is about healing. This is about how to receive your healing, not just physical healing, but how to receive heart healing from hurts and offense, how to even get freed from addictions and things like that. So this is a whole, this is Healed and Whole. I was going to say a whole package on healing, but it's Healed and Whole. That's a good name. Carly must have thought of that name. That's a good name. Healed and Whole. That'll bless you. So who needs to be healed and whole today? You can grab that. And then let me just tell you real quickly about this. I can't help myself. This is a practical ministry training. This is a course, a 9-CD course that me and my wife did. And this is going to help you train people in ministry. It's going to help you lead people to Christ. It's going to help you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how to baptize people and help people in their prayer language, how to flow in the spiritual gifts. How to hear the voice of God. How do you know when it's God? How do you know when it's the devil? How do you know when it's your flesh? How do you know when it's too much cheese pizza? This will help you how to hear the voice of God. There's 9 CDs in here, and there's also a curriculum, a CD-ROM. You can print the curriculum out. So how many of you need some training? You know, hands down, let me ask you this. How many of you have a small group or a church or something you could use this for to train them? Not you, Bill, I'm sorry. You can't have it. But anyway, I'll give you one later. Someone at the back there can grab that. And then 2 more. Man. Carly will tell me off. She says, you spend all your time talking about this, but I like this stuff. Here's the thing. We only have like 2 hours, okay? And Bill said 1 hour and 45. I heard it as 1 hour and 45 minutes. What he means is 45 minutes to an hour, right, Tom? 45 minutes to an hour. Okay. So we'll have a break in a minute, but I just want to tell you that these things are going to help you because there's only so much we can impart in 45 minutes and an hour. I'd really encourage you to go back there and pray and pick up some of this stuff because it's going to help you go deeper in the Word of God. It's going to help you. We have testimonies of these teachings where people have taken them and then a few weeks later, a few months later, said, I got my breakthrough on lesson 7 or whatever, or lesson 8 when you said this. That's when I got my breakthrough. So it'll help you. This is everyday faith. Faith is not some mysterious thing. Faith is something that's tangible that you can put a handle on. So this is everyday faith. This will bless you. If someone needs help with their faith and how faith works and how it operates. And then the very last one, this is a course I did called Buy, Sell, Repeat. This is completely different. This is very little scripture in here. This is about how to make extra money. And even though I can teach on finances, my book teaches on finances from a biblical point of view, this is more how to practically make some extra money because I wanted to write this so that anyone can watch it, even if you know someone's not born again. If they watched it, by the end of it, they'll probably get born again because there's enough scripture in there to get you born again. But my point is this, it's a practical course on how to make extra money, how to buy and sell things on eBay and Craigslist and things like that. This is not for everyone, this is only for some of you, and I guarantee you this will not make you a millionaire overnight, okay? Guaranteed. If you become a millionaire doing this course, I'll give you your money back, okay? How about that? You can't get better than that, can you? So this is just how to buy and sell things, because what happens is I realize that the body of Christ, not many people are teaching practically how to make extra money, and this is just one way. How many of you know most of us have got stuff in our basements and our garage we don't use? And this will teach you how to sell it and stay safe and avoid scams and make some extra money. And if you want to take it to another level, people have taken this course and made businesses out of it, actually do buying and selling businesses. And I've got people all around the country that use this for small business. So thank you, Bill. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? So good, so good to be here. Praise God. I thank Tom and Dixie for having us. And I'm excited. And today, you know, I'm just happy to be here. That's what I told you I'd do. I'll tell you about my daughter real quickly. So my daughter, Hannah, she's 15 now, and she's my favorite daughter in the world because I've only got one daughter. And this is how we got into Andrew Womack's message, and this is how we discovered God's will for us, if you like. It was in 2006, our daughter was 3 years old, about 3.5 years old, and ever since she was born, she wasn't able to eat any food. So she couldn't eat any food at all. She could only eat a purified food. She couldn't swallow. She was never able to swallow. And what happened was is we kept taking her to the doctors and said, look, she's not able to swallow food. And we have 2 older sons, but at the time, you know, they were all weaned and they were all eating solid food, apart from my daughter. So the doctor said, well, maybe you're not trying hard enough and that. I said, well, I've got 2 boys, they're eating fine, what's wrong with her? And as it went on, the doctors realized it wasn't just she wasn't fussy or it wasn't our parenting, there was a real problem here. And pretty quick, when she was about 1 or 2 years old, they diagnosed her, and they diagnosed her with a disease called eosinophilic enteropathy. How about that? Don't ask me to say it again, just one time. It's a Scrabble winner, if you're playing Scrabble. Eosinophilic enteropathy. And what it is, it's an autoimmune disease that when she ate food, her body thought that the protein was germs, and it would fight against it like it was germs. So her body was actually fighting itself. So she couldn't eat even the processed food she was eating, she wasn't getting the nutrients from. And what happened was she slowly started going downhill, and she got worse and worse. And when she was 3.5 years old, she was the size of a 9-month-old baby. She was wearing 9-month-old baby clothes. and she was deteriorating. She was potty trained, but towards the end she wasn't potty. She was back in diapers, she was back in a stroller, and she was in a bad way. A lot of her hair fell out, it thinned out, her skin thinned out. I mean, she was just dying before our eyes. This is the only way I can describe it. In fact, you know, adults are usually quite polite and PC, but children aren't so much. So we was at one conference and a child came up to her and poked her in the stroller and said, "Is she alive or is she dead?" Then the kid went, "She looks like she's dead. She looks like she's dead," because her eyes were type of sunken back and stuff. She was in a bad way. People say, "Why haven't you got photos?" We got some photos, not many, but it's like when your child looks that bad, you don't usually take pictures of them, you know? So there's, but we have got some. They're on our website, the story of our daughter. It's under the About page. We've got our website, teredesministries.com. Under About, you can see the video. There's about a 20-minute video of her healing. It'll really bless you. But anyway, we knew at the time, in fact, me and my wife were associate pastors at church, so we loved God. We were all in for God. We loved God, and in fact, I'd taken I was running a part-time business so I could be part-time in the church and actually spending my time helping run the church, and we loved God. We were all in for God. We loved the Word. We knew God could heal. We knew God had the power to heal. Have you know God has the power to heal? Amen? So we knew God had the power to heal, but we didn't know it was God's will to heal every time. So what happened was, this really confused me, because I was like, well, I'm a loving dad. I love my daughter. I'd do anything. Any parents in the house or grandparents, if you've got a loved one, you'd do anything for them, right, to see them well. So here I am thinking, I would do anything to see my daughter well, and then we're not seeing her get better. I know God's meant to be love, so why isn't she healed? Anyone thought that question before? I was like, why? What's going wrong here? And it confused me, and it actually got me to the point of thinking, I loved God. It wasn't like I was going to give up on God. I had nowhere else to go, right? But I was confused. Like, if God's a loving father, why is he not just healing my daughter? What's going on here? Why is he choosing not to heal my daughter, is what I thought. And we even had people, friends of ours, would pray for her, and they'd say things like, well, you know, I wonder what's wrong. I wonder if maybe there's sin in you and Carly's life, or maybe this is God going to teach you something through this. And I got to the point of believing, well, even if she dies, you know what, if that's God's will, then I'm gonna learn something. It must be, God must want another angel in heaven. Ever heard that, those lies? They're lies. I'm here to tell you. If you've heard that, I'm sorry. I've had close friends that have lost loved ones, and it's type of comforting to think that God's taken them to heaven. But that's not the truth. God's plans for everyone, Jeremiah 29, God's got plans for a long life for every person. He doesn't plan for anyone to be taken to heaven early. God's plan is for you to have a long life, a healthy life, a whole life, a life of fulfillment, praise God. So that was not God's will for my daughter to die at 3 years old. But I got to believing it was. And then I got a little cassette tape, a little white cassette tape. And it was recorded about 20 years before we got it. It was recorded in the late 80s, and it was from Andrew Womack. And I thought, what is this? This said Andrew Womack on it. It was a free cassette tape. My mother-in-law, Carly's mother, had it in the back of a drawer that someone had given to her. They'd put it in the back of the kitchen drawer. One of those drawers, I'm sure everyone's got one, where just stuff goes in there. You just push everything in there, and just keep pushing it and in, and then drawer. She'd moved with that set of drawers a few times, and it was still in there. So anyway, I had a rental car. I was running Carly back and forth to the hospital. In fact, Hannah was due for another operation, because what they did was they operated on her and put a feeding tube directly into her stomach. And it was the last resort. They put a feeding tube directly into her stomach. They gave her this big machine that she had to carry around with her. It was on wheels. And it pumped her full of this synthetic formula that was meant to be, foolproof, you know, because she couldn't eat. This was meant to sustain her. And that didn't work either. But I was running Carly and the boys back and forth to the hospital. As I had a rental car at the time, and it didn't have a CD player, it had a cassette tape. So I said to my mother-in-law, "Have you got any cassettes?" And she opened her drawer and she found this little white cassette tape, it's Andrew Womack tape. Now, have you know, we were hungry for the Word of God. We were in the Word. We were writing scriptures out. We were putting post-it notes all over the wall of scriptures, declaring the Word of God. But we didn't understand the truth. And I tell you, if you don't understand the truth, it's the truth that's going to set you free. And my people perish for lack of knowledge. And if you don't understand the truth of something, then it doesn't matter how much you believe and how much you go to church and how much you read the Bible. If you don't understand the truth, you're going to see everything filtered through that lie or that deception that the devil's given you. So we was reading the Bible, but we wasn't understanding the truth. So we put this cassette tape in the car, and this Texas accent come on. I guess I can make fun of Texans, right? We're in Portland. Is that okay? Okay. I love Texas, praise God. But anyway, he was a very southern accent, and He came on, I thought, who is this? But we started listening to it. You know what happened? We started to hear the truth. We started to hear the truth, the real gospel. And Andrew started teaching basically a summary of everything he knows for like 10 minutes at a time. It was an hour and a half teaching, and he taught everything from the authority of the believer. How many of you know, as believers, you have authority? You have authority. You know, Genesis 1:28 says, subdue it. God has given us the earth, and we're meant to subdue it. And that means anything that comes against a promise of God, anything that comes against the word of God, you have authority over. You have authority, praise God. God's given you authority over sickness. God's given you authority over sin. God's given you authority over poverty and lack. God's given you authority. So we learned that truth in 10 minutes. Then he went on to teach about it's a better way to pray and about how long prayers that you... Because I mean, I was passionate for my daughter to be healed, so I would do all-night prayers and fast and do all sorts of things. But how many of you know it was me trying to make God do something? That's a bad position to be in. That's about... If you're trying to beg God to do something, why would you beg God to do something that's already done? So that's not, my kids don't have to beg me for my love. My kids don't have to beg me to help them with something because I love them. I just want to help them and I'm always helping them. So that's not a good thing. So I learned about a better way to pray. I learned that, you know what, we don't have to beg God. We don't have to, you know, move the arm of God. We don't have to do things like that. Then we learned about it's God's will to heal. God wants you well. And when I realized, when I started listening to this tape, for the first time, me and my wife had a revelation. It's God's will to heal every time. It's God's will to heal every time. And I know there's some questions with that, but let me tell you, that's the truth right there. It's God's will to heal every time. He's a loving Father, and it's His will to heal every time. And people say, well, how comes not everyone's healed? There's lots of answers to that. One of the simplest answers I know is it's God's will for everyone to be saved, everyone to be born again. I'm still unashamed to teach that there's still a decision you make. You choose Jesus now, and you get to live with Jesus when you die, and you have eternal life on earth. If you reject Jesus, reject His gospel, then you're not going to get to heaven, and that's it. And there is a place called heaven, there's a place called hell. I still teach that. I know that might be old school, but that's the truth. So anyway, it's not God's will for anyone to perish. He never designed anyone to be lost. He never designed anyone. So God's will is for everyone to be saved. And there's at least three scriptures in the New Testament about God's not willing that one should perish. He wants everyone saved. He's not willing that one should perish. And you don't look too convinced. Let me read you a couple. Everyone's like, are you sure about that? It's God's will. I don't know where people are at here, but it's God's will 100% for everyone to be born again. That's how He designed it. And, you know, that's His will. Matthew 18:11 is a great... Let me read you this real quickly. Matthew 18:11. And this is a story. Everyone, most of you know this story, but I want to read you this real quickly. Remind me to finish the testimony of my daughter, because I may forget. Matthew 18:11. It's been known before that I can get distracted. This is Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And then there's a story of the lost sheep, which I think is beautiful. It talks about how, you know, there was one of his sheep were missing. He went, the shepherd went off and looked for that one sheep. And it's interesting, you know, sometimes we'll be at meetings or conferences or whatever, and people are worried about one particular person or one particular thing. You know, God's heart is for that one particular person or the one particular thing. And I'm not saying He's going to leave the 99 to deal with that one person, but it's tough if He does. I don't know how He does it, because He doesn't leave us, but it's like He's actually more worried about the one that's lost or the one that needs help. That's God's heart, praise God. But in verse 14, it says, even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. That's Matthew 18:14. And there's other scriptures, 2 Peter talks about, it's not 2 Peter 3:9 says that He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And then I believe there's 1 Timothy, there's the same scripture. So basically it's God's will for everyone to be saved, but not everyone is saved. Have you know, not everyone's saved. So God's will does not automatically come to pass. And this is another whole teaching on the sovereignty of God. But you know, the sovereignty of God is a dangerous teaching, because I used to believe that with a passion. God's in control. God's in control. Now I believe God's sovereign. God is almighty. But God is not in control of every little thing. He's given Him control. In fact, I think it makes Him more powerful, the fact that He's given some of His authority over to mankind. So God gave some of His authority over to mankind, and now it's up to us. We have authority on the earth. And there's something called a devil that's still around. Now he's been stripped of his power, but he's still in the equation as well. So God's will does not necessarily come to pass automatically. It never comes to pass automatically. It's a choice, praise God. So when we start to hear these truths, we realize for the first time it was God's will for our daughter to be healed. Even though she was dying in front of her eyes, it was God's will for her to be healed. So we got excited about this. So we went onto his website, Andrew's website, and we downloaded all the teachings we could. I gave them to Carly to listen to. She was in the hospital with Hannah, and I was listening to them. And then I went to the doctor, the senior doctor there, and I said, listen, the feeding tube they put in her, she was rejecting it. My daughter was rejecting it. She was still throwing up. She was still showing symptoms. She was getting worse. And I said to the doctor, I took him outside the room, and I was early, wherever I was, mid-20s then. I said to him, that sounds a bit arrogant, he was probably 6 years old, but I said to him, sir, how long have you been doing this for? How long have you been a pediatrician for? And he said like 30 years. And I said, okay. I wanted to make sure because, I don't know, this could have been his second day on the job, and he's dealing with my daughter who's dying. I wanted to know. So I went up in an airplane once, and the pilot looked very young. It was a two-seater. It was just me and him, and he looked very young. I said, how long have you been flying for? I said, I've been flying for 5 years. So, okay, that's not that long, but I'm okay with 5 years. But he went to me, this is my first solo flight with another pilot. True story, that will get you praying in tongues. But anyway, so I asked him, how long have you been doing this for? He said, 30 years. Okay, I said, how bad is my daughter? And he said, she's about as bad as I've seen. I said, okay, now I know what I'm dealing with. I said, this NeoCrate formula, this special formula you're pumping into her now, it's not working, is it? And he said, no, sir. And I said, what's next? And he looked at me, and he had a look on his face that you could tell he was struggling for words. And he said to me, I'll tell you what, he said, bring her back in 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks' time, we'll try some other things. But he said, why don't you take her home now? She'd been living in hospital. He said, why don't you take her home today and bring her back in 2 weeks? In 2 weeks, we'll try some other things. Now, I found out afterwards, the other doctors told me the reason why he said that was because he gave her a maximum of a week to live. And he didn't have the heart to say, take her home, there's no hope. He just said, take her home and bring her back in 2 weeks. They said, if there was anything else we could have done for your daughter, we would have done it there. And we certainly wouldn't have let her just go home without treatment because she was in such a bad way. So back up a few weeks before that is when we got the tape. 2 weeks before that date, we got the tape. So we started downloading all Andrew's teaching. We want a crash course of the Word of God. We listened to everything we could on healing and about authority and about faith we could from the Word of God. How many of you know, we can actually get in the Word of God, praise God. If you want to believe, if you want to believe, you've got to hear it, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And often people, I'm not saying, you can go to a meeting and get your miracle, praise God. That's why a lot of us are here, right? Because we want to see healing, and we want to see healing in our own bodies, and we want to see healing of others and things like that. But ultimately, you want to go to the Word of God and convince yourself. I've got a friend who puts it this way, brainwash yourself in the truth. We have to brainwash ourselves in the truth, because how do you know, our flesh and our past experience and our parents maybe, and our even some churches we've been to, not the church that meets here, but other churches, maybe religion, maybe whatever, has brainwashed us and told us some things that aren't true. So we need to get into the Word of God, which is true, the only truth. My word is truth. Sanctify them by your word. My word is truth. By God's word, and that's going to bring us the faith. And that's what happened to me and Carly. We just listened to the Word of God. We listened to the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We read all the healing scriptures we could. And we wasn't making it happen. So here's the danger when I say this. Then people, they go away and they think, well, if I do like Ashley Guy did, if I spend 2 weeks reading the Word, if I spend 2 weeks listening but nothing but Andrew's teachings, then I'll receive my healing. You see the problem there? It's on us again to perform to make God do something. That's not right. What we were doing, we was convincing ourselves of a truth that already existed. We was convincing ourselves of a truth that already existed. God had already made up his mind. He had already paid the price for our daughter's healing 2,000 years ago. It was a done deal. We wasn't making God do anything. We wasn't trying to convince God. We were trying to convince ourselves to be able to believe it. So we got into the Word of God for 2 weeks, and then I went on Andrew's website to see if he's in England at all, because he's an American ministry. But I wonder if he's ever in England. So I looked on the website, and it said, One UK Conference, March the 16th, 2006. And I thought, today is March the 15th. That's not bad timing. That's tomorrow. So we talk about God's setup. So I called Carly. She's in the hospital. I said, listen, this Andrew Womack is in England tomorrow. I said, we've got to get Hannah there. He said, we can't get her out of hospital. You know, in England, you can't just take your kids out of hospital. That's another whole story I won't get into. But you can't just, once your child's that sick, you haven't got the right to just take him out of hospital. So I said, you know what? God's going to, maybe it's a little bit of sovereignty of God still. Because I said, God will make a way. So that's what happened. I talked to the doctor and he said, take her home. So we didn't take her home. We drove up to this conference, and we got to the conference, and she received prayer at that conference. And here's what happened. She was asleep in her stroller and she received prayer. She was prayed for. And when she woke up, we said to her, Hannah, while you was asleep, Jesus healed you. Simple as that. We said, when you was asleep, Jesus healed you. And she smiled and she said, I want to eat. Now, she'd never eaten solid food in her life, and she'd only ever been able to eat pureed food. Months, she'd not had anything at all other than water. Or water, as you say here, water, other than water, because she was on this feeding machine. So she'd never eaten before, and I said, what do you want to eat? She said, I want to eat McDonald's. Talk about the power of advertising, okay? McDonald's. I said, honey, I said, McDonald's, I said, that'll kill a well person. I said, I'm trying to help you here. Again, this is taped, McDonald's, don't sue me. So she we put her in the we wheeled her out to the car, And we went looking for McDonald's. It was in a strange town. We had to drive up to the other end of the country to be at this conference. And we couldn't find a McDonald's, but we found a KFC. I said, there's a KFC here. Will that do? She said, that'll do. So we went into a KFC. She's 3.5 years old, KFC. She's already been unplugged from a machine because she used to have a one-hour break a day. So the machine was plugged in for 23 hours a day. And then 1 hour a day would unplug it and would flush it out and refill it and then plug it back in again. So she wasn't on a machine at this point. So we went to KFC. And she ordered she wanted fried chicken and fries and a chocolate milkshake. Now, she hadn't eaten solid food in her life, and she hadn't eaten for months. She was on water and this formula. And there she was, sits there. We was on a round table. There was me and my wife and then our two sons and our daughter. And she sat around this table. And if anyone was watching, they thought, this is a strange family. They all just watched one of them eat, because all of us, even our kids, even our boys, they were little, but they were like staring like, is she going to eat it? She picked up the chicken, and we're like, she started eating this chicken. She started swallowing the chicken, fried chicken, started swallowing it. First time, swallowed lumps in her life, started swallowing it. Got the fries, started swallowing it. Got the milkshake, started swallowing it. She said, I'm still hungry, I want more. We had to buy more. And then we got back in the car, and she started to choke. She started to throw up. She started to show symptoms of choking. And right then, she was in the back of the car. We had a 5-seater car. She's in the middle, and my two sons were either side of her. They were like ducking for cover because she used to throw up all the time. They knew she was going to throw up. And right then, I had a decision to make. Is it too good to be true? Is she really healed? Is this the sickness come back? You know, it's not. It's the devil. It's symptoms just trying to come back and knock. Do you really believe this? Do you really believe you're healed? It's amazing. When you start to believe something, it's amazing how the devil will come and test you on it. Okay? And he's a coward. He's a loser. And that's what he does. He tries to test you on it. You know, Pastor Greg Moore, a good friend of mine, I think he taught here last time, and he tells a great example of this. He says, you know, could someone come and break into your house? Bill, could someone break into your house tonight and steal $50,000 cash from your house? Please say no. One person said yes once. And I was like, I've just declared to the whole world that this guy's got $50,000 cash in his house. But he couldn't actually go into your house and steal $50,000 cash tonight, could he? No. Could he steal a TV from your house tonight? Yes. Why could he steal a TV and not $50,000 cash? Because you haven't got $50,000 cash in your house, right? But you've got a TV in your house. Okay, you follow me here? The devil, John 10:10, is a thief. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil's only coming to steal what you already have. He can't steal what you haven't got. The reason why he's after your health, the reason why he's after your finances, after trying to put poverty on you, the reason why he's trying to put confusion on you is because you already have your healing. You already have prosperity. You already have peace, praise God. Jesus paid for it. And when you got born again, you received it all, praise God, in your relationship with Jesus. So he's coming to steal what you already have. So he was coming to steal our daughter's healing. And I thought, no way. I turned around and I said, choking, stop in Jesus' name. Just like that. It wasn't nothing fancy. I just said, choking, stop in Jesus' name. And she stopped choking. And then a little bit later, she did it again, started choking again. I said, choking, stop in Jesus' name. And she stopped choking. And I could tell you so many testimonies about how it's almost, the devil's like a coward, you know, he's like a scared. When you show fear, it's like you're giving him entrance. But when you show him, you know what, I'm serious, we'll go toe to toe, but I've got the authority here, not you, then he'll flee pretty quick. You know, resist the devil, submit to God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And sometimes we have to do some resisting. Actually, I thought this was grace. Yeah, it's part of grace. It's okay. We submit to God and we have our part in submitting, is resisting the devil. Submit to God. A lot of Christians will submit to God, no problem. They don't want to resist the devil. You know, I've been at times, I'll tell you truthfully, I've been at times where I was like, I just don't want to fight. I just want to lay under the duvet and just let the flu run its course. You know? No, we need to get up and fight, praise God. We need to get up and resist the devil, because what the devil's trying to do is steal from what God's already given you. So I had to choke and stop in Jesus' name. She stopped choking right then. And twice it happened. And that was in March 2006. We went back home with her. The nurse actually came to our house at 9 o'clock at night, banging on our door. Let me in your house. She said, we've heard you're feeding your child. You cannot feed your child. It'll kill her. I said, do you want to come through? And she walked into the kitchen. There's Hannah just eating. Happy. Eating. Perfect timing. She said, you need to bring her to hospital tomorrow. I said, no problem. So we took her back to the hospital. They did checkups on her. They kept checking her. They wanted to check her every week. Anyway, after 6 months, they finally did a full checkup of her, checked everything. And they came back. And this is what they said to us. I love it. They had a clipboard, about 3 or 4 of them with her. They came back and they said, we've tried. So they put it, we've tried, but we can't find one thing wrong with your daughter. She's 100% healed and well. Amen. Isn't that neat? Praise God. And that was 2006, like I said. So what's that, 12 years ago now? She's now 15 years old, 100% healthy, not had any more symptoms. She's never been plugged back in the machine. She's never had any issues. She eats every type of food group known to man. And she's 100% healthy, and she's caught up on her height. She's caught up on her weight and everything. And she's 100% healed. Now, God didn't do that to us because we were special or anything. God's no respecter of persons. And I'm telling you, if you're here tonight, it's God's will for you to be healed, just like our daughter was to be healed. There's no like God's choosing one and not choosing the other. No, it's God's will to heal every time. You know, when Jesus was walking the earth in flesh, Philip said, "Show us the Father. Show us the Father." And Jesus said, "You know, if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father." What Jesus did on earth was a mirror. If God, this is a bit cheesy, my kids don't like me saying this, but I'll say it. If God took a selfie, it would look like Jesus. Okay? Jesus is God in the flesh. And this sounds, and we know this actually, we're born again Christians, we know this, yeah, but think about this. That means when Jesus was on earth, he did God's will all the time. In fact, he didn't do anything outside of God's will. He said, "I only do what I hear the Father tell me to do." So how many people did Jesus heal who came to him? Every single person that came to him received healing from Jesus. It was always God's will to heal every time. How many people did Jesus just allow sickness to go on? How many people did Jesus put sickness on? How many people did Jesus just not heal and just leave them? No, every person that came to Jesus for healing was healed every single time. I'm telling you tonight, it's God's will for you to be well. Just like it's God's will for you to live in prosperity, it's God's will for you to live in peace, it's God's will to live in wholeness. Jesus came so you can live an abundant life. John 10:10. He wants you to live life and life to the full. And I'm telling you that his will for us is to live a long, fulfilled life, praise God. He hasn't got anything bad for you. He's a good God and he only does good. That's all he can do. He doesn't do bad. He only does good, praise God, and that's all he's got for us is good. He can't go outside. He is good. Because he is good, he can't put goodness down and operate outside of goodness. No, everything he does is good. And I know people say, "Well, actually, what about the Old Testament?" That's another whole lesson I could teach you about that. They didn't understand about the devil. They didn't understand about all these things. So there's things going on in the Old Testament that we could teach on. But I'm here to tell you, God is good, and he only has good for us, praise God. And it's God's will for you to be healed today. And whatever it is that you need healing from, whatever it is that you're believing for, maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's yourself, maybe it's in your body, maybe it's finances, maybe it's marriage, relationships, whatever you need healing from, if you like, God is here, and he's the healer, praise God. Healing is here, and you don't have to go anywhere else. You've already got it on the inside of you. This is let me share this with you real quick. And I'll start wrapping up. This is Luke 10. This is a story. Most of us know this story. But this is a neat story. This is Mary and Martha. I like this story. This is in Luke 10. Let me turn to it here. And in Luke 10, what happens is Mary, Jesus and his entourage, if you like, are coming through town. And it says here in Luke verse 38. Let's jump into verse 38. This is Luke 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. How many of you know Martha welcomed Jesus into her house? That's a good thing. She welcomed Jesus into her house. Hopefully everyone here is born again. If you're not born again, you haven't welcomed Jesus into your life, then we can fix that, praise God. You can come and see us, and you can receive Jesus tonight. It doesn't matter where you've been, just like the worship song we sung, you're forgiven. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. God's got an open door for you, praise God. And verse 39, and listen to this, this is verse 39. And she had a sister, so Martha had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Do you hear that? Who also sat at Jesus' feet. See, when we say this, tell the story about Mary and Martha, Martha always gets a bad rap. Like, well, Martha was just, she wasn't very spiritual. She just ran around making food for people. Mary was the one that sat at Jesus' feet. Now listen to this, who also sat at Jesus' feet. Martha and Mary started out at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. They started out in Jesus' presence, sat at his feet, listening to his word. That's where they started out. And do you know what happened? Martha got distracted by all the people in her house. You know what it's like? You got people in your house. My wife does this all the time. People come around, she'll open up that chest freezer and whip up a meal for 10. It's amazing. But that's what happens, right? People come to your house, you want to serve them. And Martha got distracted with much serving. Verse 40. And then she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." So now Martha's telling Jesus, "Jesus, look, come on here. Mary's here slacking off, listening to your word, and I'm running around making it happen over here. This isn't very fair." This is when Jesus replied. This is Luke 10:41. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." Verse 42, "But one thing is needed." Just one thing. One thing is needed. "And Mary has chosen that good part,
which will not be taken away from her. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which is not be taken away from her. I'm here to tell you, everything we need is in Jesus. It's like in Sunday school, when the teacher asked a question, 9 times out of 10, the answer was Jesus, right? Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the solution every time. And I want to tell you that Colossians 2, 9 and 10 talks about you are complete in Him. You are complete in Jesus. And through your relationship with Jesus, you are complete in Him, and you have everything you need. Everything you need comes from your relationship with Jesus, praise God. And Mary right here, she spent her time at Jesus' feet, and she received from Jesus. And you could say, well, Ashley, what about all those people, those 100 people in Mary's house, Martha's house? Who was going to feed those? Well, how many of you know, later on there's a story of 5,000 people on a hillside, and they all sat at Jesus' feet, and Jesus gave them specific instructions, and every one of them was fed to the full and had more than enough. So when we sit at Jesus' feet, He will show us what to do, when to do it, how to do it. But we can't run around trying to do it in our own strength, because that's what religion is, and that's what dead works is, and that's what doing things in the flesh is. We have to always start at Jesus' feet and come back to our relationship with Him. That's what it's all about. And sometimes we can spend more time looking for our healing or looking for our prosperity or looking for our whatever we need from God rather than just looking for God, rather than just seeking God. Sometimes we spend more time chasing the healing than the healer. And God wants us back at His feet, praise God. And everything we need is in His presence, at His feet, praise God. And He wants to give you everything, praise God, that pertains to life and godliness. He wants to bless you in every area of your life, praise God. And they'll show you what needs to happen. Grace has already provided it. Our part by faith is to believe it and receive it. And He'll show you if we need to change what we believe in, if we need to renew our minds in a certain area. Because you know what? It's never God's issue. It's our receiving that's the blockage. God is always giving. God is always... God's got it for us already. Amen. Praise God. It's never God withholding. It's God's will to heal every time. And I'm here to tell you that He wants you to be well more than you want to be well today. Isn't that neat? God wants you well more than you want to be well. God wants you well more than your best friend wants you well, more than your family member wants you well. God wants you well. It's His will for you to be healed today, praise God. And I'm excited because and you know what? It's not a hard thing to receive from God. It doesn't have to be. There's not 10 hoops you have to jump through and 32 different steps and all these things to do. It's very simple. Get back to Jesus. Get back to believing His word, praise God. Get back to His presence and your relationship with Him. And it can be an easy thing. Galatians talks about how you received Christ, so walk in Him. We receive everything just like we receive Jesus. How do we receive Jesus? By faith, just by saying, yes, Lord, thank You for Your gift. We receive healing the same way. We receive everything the same way. Thank You, Lord. You've done it for me already. I'll receive it. I'll end with this quick illustration. I tell it everywhere I go, and my kids say, Dad, you tell this story everywhere you go, but I love it, and I haven't got a new one yet. So when I get a new one, I'll replace it. But for now, imagine this. Imagine a heavyweight boxing match. I'll end with this. Two boxers, and they're fighting, you know. But back in the day, England used to have, who do you have? Lennox Lewis, and you used to have, Mike Tyson. We used to have Frank Bruno and Mike Tyson. Frank Bruno was like a nice guy and Mike Tyson was mean, so no wonder America beat England. But anyway, I'm talking like 25 years ago, 30 years ago, right? So they would fight each other and then one would knock the other one down and they would declare the one who knocked the other one down. They would lift up his arms. They would say, this is the champion of the world, the heavyweight champion of the world. You ever seen that in a boxing match? This is the champion. And they would lift up his arms and say, he's the champion. You know, Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, you are more than conquerors. Because Jesus has already done it for you, He's already gone to the cross, He's already paid for your, 2 Corinthians 5:21, He took your sickness, took your sin, and now we get His righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24, He took stripes on His back so that we could take His healing. By His stripes we are healed. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, He took our poverty so that we could take His riches. He's gone to the cross and done it for us. And in Romans 8:37, it says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. So you today, if you're born again, are more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. So this boxer would knock this person down and they'd lift up his arms and say, he's the world champion. He's the heavyweight champion of the world. And they'd give him a big belt, big golden belt, champion of the world. And then they'd give him a purse, which I think is interesting because he's a man. Why not give him a wallet or a check? But they give him a purse. They call it a purse. And they say, this is a purse of money and this is the prize money. It could be, $100 million prize money, right? They give him this $100 million prize money. And they lift up his arms and say, he is the conqueror of the world. He is the world champion. He is a conqueror. Amen. He's a conqueror. He's conquered. He's a conqueror. Then his wife, she jumps over the ropes and she walks across the canvas and she leans up and kisses him on the cheek and she takes that $100 million prize money and she goes down to the mall. Now, he's a conqueror, okay? But she's more than a conqueror. Amen. And I'm telling you, that is the truth for you today, right now. Because of your relationship with Jesus, because you're married to Jesus, everything you need is from him, his relationship with him. You get his health and healing. You get his prosperity. You get his peace of mind. You get his righteousness. He paid the price for it, and we take it free of charge. Through our relationship with Jesus, we say, thank you, Jesus, and we get it free of charge, praise God. So I'm here to tell you today, you have already got it. You've already got what you need. You don't need to go anywhere to find it. You didn't even have to come here. Don't disappoint you. You didn't even have to come here because you've already got it on the inside. Now, Carly's going to show you how to release that in the next session, praise God, and we're going to see people healed tonight. But I'm here to tell you, it's God's will for you to be healed, and you've already got what you're looking for. It's on the inside of you, praise God. It's all through your relationship with Jesus. Amen? Amen? Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you for this meeting. I thank you for healing is here, 2018. I thank you, Lord, that we've already got it. I thank you, Jesus, what you did on the cross for us. We've already got everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. I thank you, Lord, that everyone listening to my voice has already got their healing, already got their prosperity, already got their peace of mind. And I speak those things out tonight, right now, that people receive those truths and it will move from their spirit into their soul. And we'll see healings manifest tonight in Jesus' name. We'll see bodies healed. We'll see minds restored. We'll see people set free tonight in your liberty in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen.